Good freaking morning, y'all. I don't know about you, but I needed that. I needed that weekend. I needed all the football from start to finish. I just needed it. We got it. Life's good. I assume that everybody woke up this morning in just a spectacular mood, phenomenal mood.
Well, there are certain fan bases, probably not so much.
Okay, but, that's fair. Yep, nope, that's fair. If your team got a 47 spot dumped on their noggins in a divisional game out of the freaking gate, maybe you didn't wake up in the Mary Poppinist of moods this AM.
I believe to loosely quote Rashad Beard, I got nothing, bro.
I got nothing, bro. You know what? And here's the thing. How do I even attack this? You know where we got to go out of the gate, right? And not only are we going to go there out of the gate, we're going to go there out of the gate, and we're probably going to go back there like a whole lot of times over the course of the show today. Yep, that's where we got to go out of the gate. And we're coming back to it throughout the show. And listen, we got a lot that we need to get into today. We got John Blau of the Post and Courier rejoining the show at 8:40. Because Clemson remembered how to do a football. And they did a football a lot of times. We got to talk about that. The South Carolina Gamecocks, they went to Lexington, Kentucky, and they layeth the smack down upon the Wild. They just beat Kentucky. They straight up embarrassed Kentucky at Kroger Field.
Who's your daddy?
Daddy Shane decided to bring the absolute to baby Stoops, to little Stoops, little brother Stoops. Got it handed to him. By Daddy Shane.
He's not really a little brother. He's put on a lot of weight. I mean, I'm one to talk, but he's put on a lot of weight between last season and this season.
Yeah, well, he's been stressing about that visit from the Gamecocks, and now you know why. So we gotta talk about that. You already know it, right? We gotta talk about the National Football League, because what a dramatic ass week one the NFL gave us. There was a point on Saturday, great one, a point on Saturday where there was one home team that was winning. It was mine. There was a point one home team had a lead out of every game happening in week one.
You mean on Sunday?
Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say, Monday?
You said Saturday.
That too.
Uh-huh.
Actually, zero home teams held lead on Saturday. That's how dramatic the weekend was, all right? We got the Tyreek thing we got to get into ever so briefly. You don't have to like it. Maybe uncomfortable. We got to do it. All right, we got to talk. We got to, but there's nowhere.
If you have details as to, I mean, you know, anyway.
That's part of the conversation.
Okay.
Part of the conversation. But with everything that went on, with football being back from Thursday night to Friday night to all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and we ain't done because we got a Monday night football game tonight that we got to talk to, that we got to talk about.
We're going to talk to them. And we go talk to him and say, oh, you were here. Well, I left the space.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to talk to him and say, hey, Aaron, make it past like five or six plays.
Can Aaron over under minutes played 3.5? We're going to talk about that coming up. We got to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, sorry. I was choked on something.
Oh, you mean that Justin Fields led team that you said there's Justin Fields was going to start?
Justin Fields was
six
the hero.
Field goals, baby.
Justin.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Three after three. We got to talk about that. We're going to talk about all of it. But. I would be a cowardly lion of a host if we didn't open up with the Panthers and the Saints, if we didn't open up with a 47-10 demolition job of that team by your, my, our future first ballot Hall of Famer, Derek bleeping car.
He looked good. I felt sorry for the little guy, though, when they showed him on the bench all by himself, just looking at his iPad and pouting. I wanted to give him a hug. I really did. Except then I remembered how much money he makes. He don't need no hug.
So I need you to know, Lonzo, that you're affecting my life in a negative way. Like, just as a person.
As my wife said, I'm going to loosely quote here, they can't teach him how to be taller.
Miss Lisa. Come on, Miss Lisa. I need you to help me reform this man into a better version of himself, Miss Lisa. Dude, not worse.
Dude, she's 5'4". He's barely taller than
That's
her.
That's really funny. They showed him on the sideline with his play iPad. And when they did, my noggin, and I don't know how to express this in a way that like really brings you into where Lonzo has brought me down to. But the immediate thought I had was, oh, parents giving their kids these iPads at the restaurant nowadays to keep them occupied. It's just getting out of hand now. You know, like that was my thought.
Yeah, raise your kids. Don't let the iPad do it.
Yeah, BY holding his iPad. And the first image I got was BY in a high chair at TGI Fridays with mom and pops handing him the iPad so that he can play Roblox and they don't have to actually parent him any. Right? Like that's, I was like, as soon as I had the thought, and the lady friend and I, we went out yesterday to watch the game. It's week one. Like, most of the time, I'm going to stay home. But when mama says, hey, I want to go out, have a couple of Sunday Funday beverages when we watch the Saints. And I got to say, and this is just me bragging a little bit, Zoe. She went yesterday morning. Her wedding dress finally showed up. She's like, I got to go pick up my wedding dress. Meet me at the watering hole. Bring the dog. I want to have some Sunday Funday beverages while we watch the Saints. And I didn't see her. She was saying that from the room. And I'm like, okay. And she came out of the room, great one, in a Saints t-shirt, gold shorts. And I got her a couple of years ago these big obnoxious Saints earrings, really more as like a ha-ha funny because that's not really her style. She came out with them on. I'm like, yep, we're going out. You got it, mama. Let's go. So we went out to watch this game. We're sitting at a local beverage spot that I did not know when we got there was a Bills bar. All right? Don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely Team Buffalo. We're talking about Josh Allen later today as well. Did earn a third Josh Allen yesterday. We'll see if he brings it back because they got the Dolphins
come on,
Thursday.
Dude, they almost lost. So don't. I mean, they had to
and
come.
Then what happened? They
had to come back and win. Yeah,
who came back and won? Josh Allen.
By the way, who are they playing?
The Cardinals.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And Marvin Harrison throwing the freaking ball. Kyler.
He was open.
Golly. Anyway, we'll come back to that later on in the show. We're sitting at the watering establishment, enjoying the game. I obviously got on the black and gold Florida Lee head to toe, top to bottom. I don't make any apologies for it. Showed up today, had to do it. You know when the last time the Saints dropped 47 on a head was? It was like 2009.
Hey, good for you. I knew you'd be
wearing
it.
Oh, I felt real good.
I knew you'd be rocking it. And look at you looking svelte in that t-shirt.
Feels good. You know when the last time I could wear this shirt was? 2009! So it feels real good, all right? And I'm sitting there. We're having a brewski, watching the game. Derek Carr puts up tutty number 3 through the air. My man Jamal Williams takes one into the end zone. Does his? By the way, did you see the Jamal Williams end zone celly I sent you? Great one. Him and one of the linemen hit a wholesale anime sword celebration.
I watched the entire game.
Did you see the full celly?
Yeah, I saw it.
Protect this man at all costs. Jamal Williams is a national treasure. All right, he's a national treasure.
You know what was amazing about that game is I sent you text and I got instant response.
You did.
That was so weird.
I want you to know I'm trying to change as a man. I'm trying to grow as a person. You know, I'm like I'm literally what am I 12 days away now from having to become a real man now. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, the Saints were already up 7.
That also helped.
You were feeling it.
We were up 10-0 after like 5.5 minutes of football. Today's a new day. Yes, it is. Today is a new day. I got to be a better person. If my executive producer and friend Lonzo texts me, he's getting the auto reply. Also, I don't know how many more games this year I'm going to feel that good. So I might as well just like ride that high, right?
I don't know, man. New offensive coordinator seems to know what he's doing. Again, it's against the Panthers. And that defense that you and Rashad have been praising the last 2 years that looked horrible yesterday.
Senior Kubiak, welcome to the Big Easy. So nice to have you. Pete Carmichael, thank you for all you did, bud. But Clint Kubiak is him. All right. Now, put all that to the side. Let's talk about Bryce Young. 13 of 30, a buck 61, a pair of interceptions, no tutties in this one. All right. Very first snap, very first throw, just misses. No defense. Great one. I have no defense for the two picks. They were awful. They were awful. They were tragic. All right.
Well, I was waiting for this offense to be different, and I didn't see it. And the other thing is, get him out of the pocket. What are you doing? Leaving him right there in the middle of the pocket. And all the short jokes aside, he can't see over that line. He can't.
You got to roll
a shorter quarterback out and develop some lanes for him to throw into. What the heck was that? First play.
Let me give you my thought process here. And this is so that we are clear. This is not a defense because yes, Bryce Young was bad yesterday. Okay, but I got a handful of things that I just want in the conversation. Again, not a defense. I cannot defend what he did yesterday. Yesterday was awful. There are no accusations of haterism today. All right, there's going to be no clips played. It is what it is. He was bad yesterday, but as I do with everything. Because I believe that's what this format of broadcasting is for. Performances, like everything else, exist on a spectrum, right? There's no black, there's no white. The world is gray. And the truth is always somewhere in the middle. I'll give you my example. The very first question or statement that came in just a minute ago from our guy, Steven, who said, Rob, the Saints are not that good. The Panthers are that bad. So there's the old question, and it's fair to ask this question. I know a lot of people get frustrated by it. I'm not one of them because I understand the world exists on that spectrum. The question we always ask is, did Team X win or did Team Y lose? And the reality is always somewhere in the middle, right? It might be mostly that Team X came out and just kicked a lot of ass. And it might be that Team Y came out and had their worst game of the year. But even if a team has its worst game of the year, this other team's got to do some good things to put points on the board. And even if a team comes out and has its absolute best game of the year, this team over here has got to make some mistakes for that to matter. Okay? Like, to me, unless you are talking about, you know, a Power 4 team taking on an FCS squad that was last in its conference last year, in which case, yes, yeah, sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes, there's just no possible way that this team can come in and beat that team. Right, Notre Dame? You know what I'm saying, don't you, Notre Dame? You get it. Husky power, baby. Come to that in a little while, too. Did y'all know Notre Dame lost this weekend to the Northern Illinois Huskies? Did y'all hear that? Was that on your... Okay, I didn't know if you... All right, we'll come back to that. So, to me, this is what I saw in this game. I saw a Bryce Young who was lacking in confidence. I saw a Bryce Young who, and I'm jumping on the Lonzo wagon this morning, the footwork was... It was bad. The two picks he threw... I went back. I can't tell you how many times I watched him last night. I had a highlight reel going two plays, both picks. In both of those picks, Bryce Young did the same exact thing. He didn't step into a throw at all. He dropped back. He found his spot. And then it was like he was throwing off the front foot. Like, it was, and this is my freaking problem. Some of the mistakes that Bryce made, not all of them, some of them were just elementary 101 quarterback level mistakes.
Did you hear what Collinsworth said? That maybe they should have played some in the preseason. Yeah.
So
they were hiding. They were not surprising.
I don't know, because here's the thing. Let's not pretend they're the only team that did that. The Atlanta Falcons, part of the reason they sucked, they did the same thing. Honestly, like I do, I to this day, and y'all know there's not much I love more than absolutely dunking on an Atlanta Falcon, and I'm going to get my time today because I want to, all right? I love dunking on a Falcon. I do not believe the Falcons are as bad as they showed against Pittsburgh yesterday. I firmly believe Atlanta made a critical mistake, and I wonder if this is going to change the philosophy for a lot of teams next year. Atlanta did not play their starters at all in the preseason. And so guess what? When they got on the field for the first time yesterday, they looked like crap. But how could they not? They had not played full-speed football. And by the way, with a new quarterback and new head coach, they had not played full-speed football. I don't believe Atlanta's going to be nearly as bad as they looked yesterday. I genuinely, sincerely, fully believe that unless you get out there and do it, you can't do it. Unless you get out there and play, you can't play. So there is a part of me that wants to say, with very few exceptions, none of the teams that you saw yesterday are anywhere close to what their final product is going to be. We got Zach in here saying biggest surprise was Cincinnati. You're damn right it was. They were 7.5-point favorites. New England upsetting Cincinnati was the largest upset, point line, spread upset of a team in week one since 2018. 2018, the last time there was a team favored by more than a touchdown that lost in week one. Do any of us think that if we run that game back in week six, the outcome is anywhere near the same? None of you are going to take that bet. But let's also keep in mind, T. Higgins was out with a hammy. Ja'Marr Chase put on a helmet for like the first time in 6 months in order to play this game, right? That team was out of sorts. This is my point about the preseason. So I do have that problem with Bryce Young. Number two, let's not sit here and pretend like you don't have, I'm not even going to make jokes, a second-year rookie quarterback who played on a butt team last year. We all agree it was a butt team last year. Regardless of how you feel about the situation, the team was butt last year. It was cheeks, as the kids say, right? So I think they still say that. So you got a second-year guy who got slaughtered last year playing for a butt team by ownership that's on head coach number 19 in 3 years, behind an offensive line last year that is supposed to be better this year. But, as we pointed out again, that was the first time that the starting five played as an offensive line. They have not been on the field together at the same time. And the majority of the starters only ran together. How many series did they play against the Bills in that last preseason game? Two?
If that.
If that, maybe one and a half, maybe one. I don't remember. Point here is none of the teams, today is the overreaction Mondays of the year, without a doubt. Everybody is going to want to build season-long narratives on what happened yesterday. And none of the teams that you saw, I don't believe any team that you saw yesterday, the entire National Football League, none of the teams that you saw yesterday are going to be the same team in week four. Forget week 18. They're not going to be the same team. Yesterday was teams getting up to speed. Was teams finding themselves. So, what I'm saying is this. Bryce Young was booty cheeks yesterday. I'm not going to argue with you. He stank yesterday. Even I, the staunchest of BY9 defenders, can't defend him today. He looked bad. All right? It's just a fact. He looked bad. The throws he got picked were awful. But I would also go one step further and say, I didn't love, as Lonzo pointed out, the play calling. They kept sitting BY in a pocket.
Do they know they have a running game? Or are they supposed to?
I mean, hey, dude, they ran the ball 20 times. They threw it 30. Like, that's not the balance Canales said we were going to get. But I would also point out that eventually, when the Saints are up, what were they up, 30-3 at halftime? At some point, you got to start throwing the ball. Like, at some point, you got to talk about throwing the ball. All right? So, New Orleans, there was something else in this game, and this isn't necessarily something that you would know just from casually watching the game. I'm not saying you're all casuals. You're here with us at 6 in the damn morning. You're not casuals. Most of you are casuals. Some of you are casuals. New Orleans last year had the lowest blitz rate in the National Football League. Last year, New Orleans blitzed less than 24% of the time. Yesterday, I don't have the number yet. Today is Today is Rob Brown gets in the lab, studies some game film today, rewatches this game, starts to put together his statistical analysis. I didn't yesterday because we dropped 47 on your heads. I wasn't anything but a fan yesterday, okay? I'm not a fan today. I'm a fanalist today. New Orleans had a less than 24% blitz rate last year. I would bet you, great one, without counting it, haven't done it yet, haven't watched it, I bet you it was closer to 50% yesterday. Why? Because the blitz was working. Carolina could not pick it up. There was one play in particular. I want to say third quarter. New Orleans straight up showed you the blitz. They had seven on the line of scrimmage. Carolina did not motion anybody in. That's a spot where ordinarily, if I'm the quarterback, I'm bringing my wing back over or my slot receiver over, making him a wing back, and I'm putting him on whatever side the overload is to. Or I'm calling him back into the backfield, setting him up as a running back, and telling him you got to pick up wherever the blitz comes from. You know what Carolina did? Nothing. Nothing. They went 5-on-7 at the line of scrimmage, and then everybody looked at Bryce. Oh, he took another sack. Of course he did. There's seven of them and five of you. I'm bad at numbers. That's why all my jobs are words jobs. But seven is more than five. In fact, I'm so sure of it, I can tell you that seven is actually two more than five. That's two people that you can't account for. And what did they do to counter that? Nothing. They said, hey, 5'7" quarterback, handle two extra linebackers. Sorry, linebacker and a cornerback coming off the other side. Handle it. Shock here. Breaking news. He didn't handle it. No adjustments. I got to tell you, I went from sky-high optimism to, yeah, it's going to be a real long year. Real long year. And Canales can say all he wants. You know, at the end of the day, we don't want to break up who we are and what we do. We want to make sure we get, yeah, you're going to get him killed. Tweet it out. The only tweet I sent during the game. If they don't figure out how to pick up the blitz, Bryce Young's going to die this year. Not metaphorically, literally. Going to get killed on the field. All right, we'll talk more about it as the show rolls on. He's the great Alonzo. I'm Rob Brown. The Rob Brown Show. 4 hours starts now. It's the Fan Upstate. Eddie joining us on the stream says, first time on the stream, you guys rock. Thank you very much, Eddie Ward. Welcome to the Armada, big dog. Glad to have you. If you haven't watched the stream, we encourage you to do it. Come join Eddie and me and Lonzo and April and Zach and Huddy and Steven and Chris. The stream's popping. Mike's in here already. Stream is absolutely lit with a capital L-I-T so far this morning.
This is weird for a Monday morning. Full season. I mean, football's back in full effect, so I guess that's what it is.
Football is back. So glad to have all you guys on the stream. If you haven't joined us on the stream before, do us a favor. Come join the stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch if you'd like to join us. We broadcast all 4 hours of the show live all 5 days of the week. Glad to do it, and it's for you, the people. So come on by. We'd love to have you. Eddie, welcome to the stream. For the rest of y'all that have been here many times, members of the Armada, the P1s up in the house, we're glad to have you guys back as well. For those of you that have never joined the stream before, why not make it today? It's football, week one. So let's keep going. Let's keep having that conversation. I want to keep going on this Carolina discussion because I do think it's an important one to have. There's a bunch of stuff that we have to break out. Like I said, the reason I think that we do sports talk radio is because the conversation is held around the fact that the truth about a situation lies in the middle of what sports radio, in my opinion, has devolved into. One person takes this end of the spectrum, and the other takes this end of the spectrum, and they scream at each other about who's right. And the reality is, very rarely, when you have a two-headed debate show, very rarely is either one of them right. The truth lies in the middle. So let's find the truth about the Carolina Panthers. I'm a Panther truther.
I was going to say, I'm going to remind you of this at some point in the near future.
I'm a Panther truther, all right? So, I mean, when you give me two people and I have to pick between the two, I'm going to pick whichever one I think is closer to reality.
Oh, I thought you were talking about us.
In sports.
I thought you were talking about our debate. Okay, never mind.
No, I mean, again,
that's outside of that, apparently.
I live somewhere in the reality that a spectrum is a spectrum, and you have to address it that way. So let's talk about the spectrum of reality for the Carolina Panthers after what we saw yesterday.
They stink.
They do stink. But as I said yesterday to the one guy in the bar that I was at that was a Panther fan that I was talking to, let's keep it a buck. What did you expect? Right? Like, well, I granted, not right. to get a 47 spot on, dropped on your head in week one.
Expected more than that. That's what
and
I
that's
expected
fair.
That.
That's fair. Again, spectrum. The reality is, on one hand, you absolutely did and should have expected better when you were a 4-point dog on the road in a divisional round in week one. You expected better than getting a 47 spot dumped
under
your head.
Xavier Leggett start and got a couple passes.
JC was out there.
Yeah.
XL was out there. Did have him a bump at the end. Deontay was out there. Didn't get nearly the quantity of targets that I thought he was going to. Right. Like, we can talk about all of that. But my sincere question for Panther fans is, what did you expect? Did you expect a win? Did you go into this game expecting? Because I'm going to tell you, if you went into this game expecting to win, I think your expectations are too high. Okay? I just think they are. I think your expect. I told you going in, I'm willing to say you'll split all three NFC South series. 1-1. And I said that my prediction was you'll lose all three on the road. You can win all three at home. But if you went into that game expecting a week one win with a new general manager, with a new head coach, with a second-year quarterback who had a year last year that I don't even count, a new wide receiver core at the 1 and 2 spot, a new offensive line at 2 of the 5 positions, one of them moving, one of the guys that stayed, moving from one position to another. So technically, 3 of your 5 offensive linemen were either new or in a new position this year. When you look at all linebacker core decimated during the offseason, you lost your best 2 players.
Would you wanted to be in the same room as Dan Morgan?
No, I assume Dan Morgan probably assaulted a member of his staff yesterday.
He did not. He's just
metaphorically.
Joking. He's joking.
What did you expect? Now, again, the reality is not to get beat 47-10. But if you expected a win, I would say that's just as ludicrous as anything else, right? So what went wrong? The Saints blitzed you far more. And this is the thing. I talked about it earlier, right? 24% lower than 24% blitz rate. I would bet you yesterday it was closer to 50. Why? Because it was working. So if the Panthers spent all offseason preparing for a week one game for a team that very rarely blitzes, prefers to stay back in coverage and make you see the field, why wouldn't you against a second-year quarterback who had a crap first year? You weren't playing for the blitz, and now all of a sudden they're blitzing you every other play? Like, you have to change things, and they did not. But again, let's also point out, Dave Canales, first-year guy, you know what else he is? A second-year play caller with a brand-new team. What did you expect? All right, we'll flip away from the Cats. We'll come back to them later in the show. We got a lot of college football to talk about and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, so let's do this. I said we are going to talk a lot of college ball. We'll talk some college ball in week two because I know there's a lot of Clemson fans and a lot of Carolina fans that want to talk about their team chomping at the bit to do so, as finally Palmetto State had a pretty good major college football weekend to discuss. We're going to get into that coming up in the next hour. I was there.
Well, you said the state, not every team. Yeah.
So, let's finish up some thoughts on this Carolina Panther game. 2 picks from Bryce Young. Let me be real clear. They both sucked. They were both all inexcusably poor performance from Bryce Young. Not he got hung out to dry, as I have been willing to say he did last year all offseason long. The 2 picks he had were both bad. The first one on throw number 1, he just missed. Who was it? JT Sanders, I think, was on an in route coming off a seam. And Bryce just flew him by 4 yards. Just flew it past him. The second one, he had Adam Thielen. Thielen dropped that in the bucket. It's a probably a 20, 25-yard pickup and a first down. Instead, he sails him by 3 yards. And it ends up, again, in the hands of a Saints defender. So, Let's figure out why that happened. The first is something that I think Lonzo has been pointing out all offseason. It was something that Lonzo said he wanted to see fixed, and he never did. Well, scratch that. He did. I go back to the preseason game against Buffalo. You know the 1-2 series that Bryce Young played? I don't want to say he fooled me because I don't know what happened yesterday entirely. But in that game against Buffalo, preseason game, it was against Buffalo's mostly starters, not entirely, but mostly starters. In that game, I thought we saw a grown-up version of Bryce Young. It was snap. It was drop. It was set foot, power off, back, and throw. Let's go with this. For a dude who is undersized, all right, put the jokes aside. He is. He's undersized. We all know it. For a dude who's undersized, one of the things that must happen for a guy like Bryce Young, this is why Drew Brees was there, is the mechanics must be flawless and consistent. The mechanics were bad for Bryce Young yesterday. They weren't in the Buffalo preseason game. It was snap, drop, plant back foot, drive off the back foot, turn the hips, shoulders follow, throw through the football. He did that. Then yesterday he didn't. Why? Now, there's a lot of different spots we could talk about. This is one of the spots that talking about football is not something I can do very easily with the casuals. Because the casual is going to look and they're just going to watch Bryce Young. They're just going to watch one guy on the football field and decide that everything that he does is only because of him. There's 10 other guys out there, and what every one of them does matters. There were a lot of spots that receivers were very getting open for the Carolina Panthers. And then there were spots that there weren't. Adam Thielen was doing Adam Thielen things. Find the spot in the coverage, run to it, present the target. Got hit a couple of times, didn't a couple of times. Deontay Johnson, and this is something I said offseason, and I need to be clear. Deontay Johnson is a good wide receiver. He is not a megastar number one. He ain't DJ Moore. You did not replace DJ Moore with Deontay Johnson, so that we're clear, okay? And then you look at everybody else. Xavier Leggett. Xavier was out there running around presenting a target for sure. He's also a rookie. He's also a game one guy. He's got to get up to speed. John Mingo. If you were on the John Mingo's got potential wagon, you're kind of by yourself.
Hang on to the ball, Mingo.
Mingo. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. Genuinely. Point here is, if you came into this year not recognizing and realizing this team's still not good, it's better. I believe it's better. Even with what happened yesterday, I believe this team is better. But I need you to don't just look at Bryce Young in a vacuum, because that's not football. That's not how it works. There's 10 other guys out there, and there's 2 to 4 guys on headsets on the sideline that have control over everything that's going on, okay? You got to look at all of it. If you hear a clank in your car engine, clunk, 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 you don't just go look at one thing and go that. You got to figure out all the different issues there to really dial down on what's happened. So, I am looking at a head coach slash offensive coordinator, because he's the play caller, right? Second year doing it. Last year he did it in Tampa Bay. They went 9-8. They made the playoffs with 9-8. It's going to take time. Because it's his second year play calling, but it's his first year play calling for this team. It's his first year play calling with Bryce Young. It's his first year play calling with Xavier Leggett and Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen and John Mingo and Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. First time play calling with these guys. And it's no matter what you do, any time that you are doing something new, it takes some time to get used to it. Lonzo's never beat a video game without dying the first time he's played it. You got to figure it out. You got to get comfortable with the controls, with your play style, with the way the bad guys work, the mechanics of the game. It's the same with football. So if you are writing this team off because they got a 47 burger dumped on their head yesterday, and it's bad, don't get me wrong. It is the I would be comfortable saying, I wouldn't care. We would all be comfortable saying, worst loss in recent memory, certainly the worst loss of any team in week one. Nobody's pushing back against that. Worst loss of week one. There was no other losses out there that felt quite like that one. Biggest spread of the weekend. I don't know, maybe the Giants, but like Giants fans have accepted. Well, I got a clip from Carlos with a K later. He had a full-on meltdown.
Yeah, it just popped up on my feed, and I could see some of the words he was saying. I hope you bleeped it a bunch.
I had to bleep it specifically twice. Carlos with a K was not in a good mood yesterday, leaving that game. All right, we'll come back to that because it's. I love my guy. I got to get my guy. I might call Carlos, see if we can get him on later, make sure his mental health's doing okay. Because I don't think it is.
I think he's fairly busy in the morning, but who knows? Maybe he could carve out some time
to
slam his team.
I mean, hey, Carlos with a K, I'll give you 3 minutes to just say whatever you want about Danny Dimes.
No.
All right, not whatever you want Danny Dimes, okay. but close to it. So let's look at a couple of things. Let's look at the fact that you got a second-year play caller, first time with Carolina. Okay. Let's look at the fact that you got it. Yes, it's a second-year quarterback. For the sake of keeping Lonzo in one piece, I won't make the joke about how this is Bryce Young's rookie year. But
no, you can't. You can't, because that's. I mean, you. I think he finally did it to you yesterday.
Again,
he can bring himself back in your eyes.
100. He's not cooked in my. Let's be real clear. He ain't cooked. He had a bad day. But there were also games where, at the end of his time, there were games I was calling to replace Drew Brees because he was cooked. Just because I like you or don't like you doesn't mean I can't go, that performance sucked. I do it to myself all the time. How many times have I kicked that door on the way out and went, I sucked today? A lot of times.
Okay? I hope we don't come to a point where you come in here and say, I have to say this, Bryce Young is a bust.
100%.
Because if you say that, that means we went through 4 years of him being terrible.
4 years?
He'll make it 4 years, right?
Oh. You mean I'm going to say that 2 years from now? Got it.
No. I'm talking about Bryce Young's contract.
Sure.
It'll take it. Unless, and I was thinking about this yesterday, what quarterbacks are coming out?
No.
Because
you can't.
Why? If they play like that the rest of the year, you can't go after a quarterback.
First off, the only one coming out next year is Quinn Ewers. Unless you want Shador Sanders, but I'm going to tell you straight up right now.
Yeah, you probably don't.
You don't want Shador Sanders.
Yeah, you probably don't.
All right, let him go to Dallas. Well, he won't now because Dak got signed. But put all that aside. So I want to come back to that because that is a possible. That is a conversation that might need to be kick-started now. I got Dave Canales, his first year as a head coach and play caller. I got Bryce Young, who I won't say it's his first year, but it's his first year with any sort of consistency for this team. I got a wide receiver core that has been shuttled around because it's not just about adding Deontay to the one, but it's adding Deontay to the one, moving Thielen to the three, adding Leggett to the two, moving Mingo to the four, right? Everybody's in a new spot from where they were last year. The only thing that is consistent is your running back field in Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. And let's keep it a buck. Neither one of those guys is Pro Bowl, okay? So the one spot on offense you have any consistency from last year to this year was arguably the biggest letdown of last year, running back, okay? So, I put all those things in tandem. Did you expect this team to come out aces? Now, it's fair to say I expected them to compete in week one. That's fair.
Yeah, be competitive in some way. That's what I thought I would see.
But I don't think it is unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable to look at that result and go, it's going to take time. Right? Canales came out yesterday, and I know a lot of you are going to chalk it up and go, of course, that's what you say after an L. But Canales came out, grabbed the mic in the postgame, and he said, look, it's going to take a long time for us to become us. I agree with that entirely. It's going to take a long time for us to become us. You know how long it took the Cincinnati Bengals? 5 years, including finding Joe Burrow. Between the last time they were good and Joe Burrow going to the Super Bowl a couple of years back. It takes time to really get into the groove. So when I look at the offense and all the every spot on the field changed. Every spot. Even your wide receiver core. Everybody shifted up or down in positioning on the depth chart, right? Quarterback, second year guy, sure. First year to me doesn't count. That's how awful it was. New head coach. And offensive court, like, of course they weren't going to be competitive. And then you had across from them a Saints team that, let's keep it a buck, we didn't know what they were going to be either. I'm a Saints fan. I don't know what the hell this team's going to be. I said that coming in. I think we're going to stink, but I don't know. But yesterday, they looked like juggernauts. Let's also talk about the Panther defense.
I say, this is the first time you've ever, that I recall, came in and didn't slam your team.
Yeah, I might be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe we are back. I'm not going that far yet, but maybe we are back. I don't know. We put up a 47 burger. All right? Let's talk about the Panther defense. You lost Brian Burns. right? I would ask this question. Outside of Derrick Brown, who on that defense would you say is a reliable, consistent defender?
Clowney, but he has nobody on the other side, so now he's a focal point, so he's going to get double teams a bunch.
I don't disagree.
And he was still back in the backfield. It's just what they did is the Saints looked and went, okay, Clowney's on this side. We're going to the other side.
But let's also put, you're right, but let's also point out, Jadeveon Clowney is a 31, almost 32-year-old player. He's an aged veteran, and there is a reason that Baltimore didn't bring him back. Okay? They didn't let Jadeveon Clowney walk for no reason. There's something there. Now, you're hoping you get the best out of him out of Ejiro Evero. We'll talk about that. Are we going to sit here and play like the Carolina defense wasn't part of the problem? Now, I can make the argument, just like I did last year. I was a defender last year. Yeah, it's going to suck when you're on the field 65, 70, 75% of the snaps. You're going to get gassed. But here's the thing, Zoe. The Saints put up 30 in the first half. This wasn't like the Saints poured it on in the end. It wasn't like they put up 30 in the last quarter. They had 30 at the half. 30 at the half. All but like two teams didn't score 30 this weekend.
Yeah, it's very unusual in the NFL to see a score like this.
Yeah, right? The Bills got 30, and they needed a miracle to get there. Dallas got 30, and they were up against Cleveland, who stank. The Bucks got 30. The Buccaneers, Washington. What are you doing? The Bucs got 30. That's the list of teams with 30. The Saints got 47.
Come on. Baker! He looked really good. He did.
He kind of did. We're going to talk about that, too, because maybe we were totally wrong about them, too. But it is Overreaction Monday. No, like I said earlier, no team that played yesterday or Friday or Thursday, no team, with the exception of maybe the Chiefs and maybe the Ravens, no team is going to look in Week 6 like they did in Week 1. Yeah, none of them.
That's the Chiefs every single game.
Right. That's also true. So, maybe outside of, I would say, Baltimore, I would say Kansas City, I would say Dallas.
Wow, that looked like that was hard for you to say.
Well, because I'm not convinced of that yet either, all right? I think Dallas got a boost by Cleveland being as trash as they are, just like New Orleans looked better. New Orleans looked better than they are. Can I just say that? New Orleans looked better than they are. They will not do that against any other team. All right, they got a boost by how trash Carolina was. Point of all of this is there's a lot to go. It's Week 1. But that's what Mondays are for, overreacting. Here's not an overreaction. Lonzo, very good at sports flashes.
Yeah, it's definitely an overreaction. The second AP college football poll has dropped. And once again, the SEC dominates the landscape. Georgia and Texas hold the top two spots. Ohio State drops to number 3, the only non-SEC team in the top 7 spots. Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Tennessee are 4 through 7, followed by Penn State, Oregon, and Miami. Rounding out the top 10, Clemson moves up 3 spots to 22, while South Carolina snagged 10 votes, their first tally of the season. Dallas Cowboys reached an agreement with quarterback Dak Prescott minutes before the Cowboys' opener against the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Prescott's new deal is a 4-year extension worth $240 million, with $231 million of it guaranteed, which makes him the richest player in the NFL. Tune in Saturday at 12:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Stetson Hatters. It's Furman versus Stetson right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.